This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Some interesting numbers at the table on the recent competitions or tournaments held over the weekend, Barry?
Oh, yeah, so there were a few. New Plymouth had the one they always had, where they had match point pairs on the Saturday and the Swiss pairs on the Sunday. It's pretty clear that people prefer Swiss pairs. They got twice as many on the Sunday as they did on the Saturday. Eight tables playing in the pairs, which, I don't know, they may have been a little disappointed with, and then 16 pairs in the Swiss on the Sunday, which wasn't too bad.
That's face-to-face, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yep. Akarana, of course, had a 5-ace with spares on the Sunday. I suppose you would have thought impacted on New Plymouth Swiss pairs on the same day. Hey, I don't know whether it did. They ended up with twice as many tables on the Sunday as they did on the Saturday. Maybe it impacted on the ordinary pairs event. I don't know. The thing was, the Akarana Swiss pairs got, would you believe it, they got 84 pairs entered for it.
What? 84?
They must have been delighted with that, and it ran like clockwork. They did a great job, as I'm sure New Plymouth did as well.
So who won the event in New Plymouth on Saturday?
Pairs event. The winners of the pairs was Pam Livingston and Jack James. Second were Colin Carrier and David O'Shaughnessy. Third were Setsko Lichtenegger and Pia Bart. On to the Swiss on the Sunday, and that was won by Irene Taunt and Helen Kelly, I believe are local New Plymouth players. They won all 7 of their matches. Yep, they never lost a match all day. Pretty good effort by Irene and Helen. Second were Pam Livingston and Jack James, couldn't quite do the double. And third were Jude Hansen and Neil Murdoch.
Wow, go Kermit and hi Jack.
So the Akarana Swiss pairs, 84 pairs won by Zachary Yarn and Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin. Second were Tim Pan and Lysandra Zing, who had a big win over Zachary and Jeremy in the second to last match, but not quite enough to get up. It was very close. Third were Graham Tufnell and Kinga Hajimasi.
Very good.
Obviously, lots of prize money and lots of, well, I think they came down to 10th, and they had a couple of prizes for the best Life Master and below players.
Yeah.
So the money got spread around a bit.
Nice. That's what you do. 84. Wow.
Yeah. Big numbers. There was another 8-point tournament held in Karori. There was a 5A pairs event. That was won by Anthony Kerr and Russell Dive. Second were Patrick Darcy and Graham Norman. And third were Kate Terry and Mindy Wu.
Ah, that's good.
A lot of these players were playing in the Akarana Swiss pairs, which I guess you can do. You play at Akarana on Saturday and Karori on Sunday. One of the benefits. Argentina, what were you asking about Argentina?
How's your training going for Argentina? Did you play on the weekend at all?
We did. We wound up 6th, which wasn't too bad. We went too far away. Yeah, so, but we've got, what a performance. We've got to lodge your system cards. I think we've got it till the end of the month or maybe another bit longer than that. So we just did ours today, but it's quite complex trying to fill the thing out and trying to figure out what you're allowed to do and what you're not. I know that Jenny's doing our system card and Liz Fisher is doing Blair and Liz's, and both of them are tearing their hair out.
Do you have to stick to a special format or something?
Yes, you do.
Don't
ask me. It's above my pay grade.
I think probably all of our listeners would agree with that. Well, yes. I haven't been able to have a game of bridge on board yet. I've been to the customer services and said, can you find me some bridge players? And they said, oh, we'll try. But there is actually, the library is also known as the card room. But I can't be that hopeful because there's only 4 tables for people to play cards on. But they have a lot of cribbage boards.
So they don't have a organised bridge thing going on?
No. So that's
a bit of a pain. How long are you on the cruise for before you can get your hands on some cards?
Saturday to Saturday, so it's Monday today. And a funny thing is, you'll never forget what day it is because when you go into the lift, there's a little carpet insert and they actually put the day that you're on in the insert. So it's like, right, today is Monday, because you do, you lose track of time. There's stuff happening all night.
You've still got a few days to go.
Yeah.
When do you get off the cruise?
We get off the cruise in Athens, in Greece. So we left from Italy in Ravenna. Then we get off in Athens and we have a choice to go back to Ravenna, but we decided not to. And then we are jumping on a train to go to Milan. It will be in Italy for a couple of weeks with the Cullen family. So I haven't played cards for ages. And on the ship, you got to buy internet. And I tell you what, have a guess how much it costs me to get internet for one day.
Or one day? $20. Well, hang on
No.
a minute. What are you paying in?
US dollars.
US dollar. Well, okay, it's probably about 10 then.
No, that'll be wrong. It's costing me just under 40 US dollars for 24 hours of Wi-Fi or internet
Well,
connection.
you better use every second of it. You can never get off the internet for the next 24 hours.
It's gold plated and you can only have it on one device, so you can't swap it and change it to your phone or anything.
You have one of those eSIM cards or whatever, don't they work?
Are not at sea, not in the air and not at sea.
You're at sea. What ocean are you on?
Hang
The Adriatic? Oh, no, I'm my geography's really bad. I don't know.
that sounds about right. Yeah, in the Mediterranean. Hey, tell me, how hot is it where you are? You're in
Not
Tilt
very.
by Hamilton?
Well, at the moment, what's it saying? It is, I think it's something like 11 degrees.
Well, last night we got a little slip. Oh, there's a bit of paper if they want to tell you about things. So we changed timelines. So we had to put our clocks forward. And also there was a temperature warning that it could reach 37.
That's 13 degrees here, actually. Can you
Oh,
imagine? We've got the fire going.
37's going to be the hottest today.
So it's actually quite a bit warmer than it has been. It's been in single figures overnight for quite some time. You remember what they're like, single figure temperatures?
Well, Samantha is from Dunedin and they're in the minuses at the moment. It's too hot for the little one. She just uses the pool all the time. Let's talk about boards. You know, all these tournaments. What do you reckon is the best number of sets for a tournament? Two with a caddy?
Absolutely dependent on how many entries you wind up with. And of course, that's not very helpful for the people who are dealing the boards because you don't really know how many entries you've got until quite late in the piece, do you? I mean, you could have a guess at how many tables you might get from maybe what you got last year or whatever, but that could be quite a long way out. It's very tricky. I don't, there's no way you can know what sort of format you're going to have exactly until quite close to the time. And that's not what your dealers will want to hear. They want to have it all organized and done and dusted, and it's just a bit hard.
It's not useful to be prepared and have them done a couple of weeks beforehand.
Well, not really, because you might actually find that the numbers you've dealt aren't going to work. And that means you've got to deal with some more boards, and that means you've got to make sure you've got the right file and you've got the same hands, and it's just another way to cock things up.
Oh, so you're saying wait till the very last minute?
I was talking to one of our more experienced directors who was telling me that he wouldn't start dealing them until sort of the Monday before, so that when he knew pretty much what he was looking at.
Okay. But it must be quite unusual for a director to deal as well, wouldn't it be?
I honestly don't know. But I mean, with dealing machines these days, it's not like you have to deal them all by hand, even though it still takes time, I realise.
Yeah. What else we got to talk about? I just haven't been doing anything.
Talked about the only bridge you're talking about is the one on that boat.
The Captain's Bridge. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
G'day.
Hi.
We've got a
So,
goodie for you. We want your opinion on this one.
and I guarantee that Judge Julie reads every word of the Chairman of NZ Bridges newsletter when it comes out. She just can't wait for it. Hey, Julie.
No comment.
There was something in there that is going to affect our directors and our players and pretty much everyone, I guess. So, at the last board meeting, apparently there was a debate over the future of stop cards with a decision to follow our September meeting. Now, I was reading between the lines last week saying, I reckon that means they're on the way out. Am I wrong? And how's it going to change things if they do get rid of them?
Well, okay, so at club level, how many clubs use stop cards? Right. I have no idea, but I've got an idea it's not as many as I'd like it to be. The second thing is that when a stop card isn't used, how often do people call the director? All right.
Right, yep.
People that blatantly disregard them. All right. The stop cards have been around for a very, very long time. There is a mixed opinion. It improved the number of appeals that we had around hesitations and things like that, because you can take time to think, but when you do, you give partner information, all right? That's not going to change. Whether you use stop cards or not, you're still going to have that you agree that someone took time to think, and if they did, there'll be stuff that follows up. The regulation takes away the compulsory part of stopping to think. And there is a thing about if regulations are not being followed, if they're not being enforced, if they're not being used properly, should we have them or should we not have them? And stop cards from the word go were not used that well. And in some cases, I mean, I remember when the regulation first came out, we had a whole group of people that just threw them on the floor, blatantly making a protest about how they disagreed with the fact that we should be using them.
Not totally relevant. When was that, Julie, roughly?
I directed 1993 at Congress when I got my national director's exam. It was about around that time. That
30 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. We used to have two appeal committees sitting at Congress. We used to have appeals that went on to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. The introduction of stop cards actually seemed to impact hugely and remove a lot of the stuff around what happened. There's a lot of stuff around them, okay? And how we all feel about them, for right or for wrong, it is the fact at the moment, it is the regulation that they must be used at tournaments under New Zealand Bridge regs. And if they're not used, then people should call and we should enforce that they are being used. But you look at all the stripe around them. When you have regulations that are not being followed well, or at all sometimes, should we have the regulation or should we just go and do something different? And I know there's a lot of mixed feelings about stop cards.
Barry uses them. So I use them.
Do you reckon I'm right? Do you reckon reading between the lines, they're on the way out? What's your best guess?
I don't care. I think it's worth a discussion and I think it should be discussed. And I think all things that we regulate on at times, because things change a lot about what is good and what is bad about the regulations. And if something isn't being done, if it's something is being ignored or something isn't working, we should always address the issue.
Man, I wish they thought that when I got my third speeding ticket in a month. That would have been good if they'd said, oh, they're not working. Let's stop giving out tickets. What do you think?
I think that they do work, depending on whether you want revenue or you want to upset people, but they work either way, don't they? So
funny.
Okay,
alrighty then.
We will wait till the September meeting and see what happens.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
It will be. Well, thanks for that. We'll catch you next week.
Okay. Have a good week.
Now. And we're heading into Barry's tip. Let's see what he's pulled out of his hat.
I had a moment, Mariana.
What sort of moment?
I had a moment during the tournament we were playing in on Saturday. And,
yeah.
For those of you that play a multi-two diamond, I don't know how many that play, but anyway, partner opened two diamonds, which is, I'm pretty sure, was going to be a week two in one of the majors, right? It's either a week two in one of the majors or 20 to 21 belts. Now, I had 15 points. I thought it was probably a week two in the major. And I only had one heart. I mean, it's probably a week two in hearts. This is my tip as well, all rolled into one. My moment and my tip. My tip is know your system. And and my other tip is, after you've been thinking for a while about something, just have a moment to make sure that what you're going to bid is actually what you've decided on. So what I decided on, I had this 15 points and I thought, partner's got a week two. If it's in hearts, it's going to be hard for us to make game, I thought. So I thought, am I going to bid two no trumps, which is a forcing inquiry to say, what have you got? Or am I just going to bid two hearts, pass hooker, and pay in two hearts? So after thinking about this for a while, I decided that, it wasn't that great. I should just probably bid two hearts. If partner has a week two in spades, that'll be great. I'll bid four spades over when she corrects the spades. Finally decided, I'm not going to bid two no trumps. So I didn't. Unfortunately, that was when I had the moment. I had a disconnect between the brain and the head, and instead of bidding two hearts, I bid two spades. Said, "Partner, I've got three
Prefer space.
hearts.
Yeah.
I'm interested. You've got a weak two in hearts. We might have game on." And I thought, I looked at that and thought, "Phew, you idiot." And my partner now bid three clubs, which said, "Yeah, I have got a weak two in hearts, and I've got these clubs. I'm really interested in game. A maximum." And I thought, "Oh, great. Oh, she's maximum, and I've got 15. Maybe we can make three no trumps." I thought, the trouble is, I'll probably never ever get to play there because I told her just one round of bidding ago that I had three hearts to go with her six. Anyway, I decided to bid three no trumps. My partner, who'd upgraded her seven count because she had nice 6-4 shape, 6-5 shape, in fact, decided to go on to four hearts, of course. Anyway,
Of course.
we were vulnerable, and I thought, "Oh, God." So I had to make a comment when I laid the dummy out. What do
Yeah,
you
what
think I
did
said?
you say? Good luck, partner.
No, I said, "Sorry, partner, I've lost the plot," is what I said. But anyway, this thing made. Not many people bid to four hearts, but it made comfortably enough. So I'm not quite sure what the moral of the story is, but I did not feel good when I realized I'd bid two spades instead of two hearts. So I guess my tip is, if you think for a long time about what you're going to bid, before you actually write it on the pad, just make sure it's the option that you really, really decided you wanted to do.
What did Jenny say?
She just said, "Thank you, partner," and proceeded to make it. So there you go. My singleton heart was the king. It wasn't just a small one. So I guess, as I said to her later, well, I guess the king was better than too small.
June, oh Barry, she would have said.
No, she didn't say much. She just proceeded to
Well,
play it
that's
up.
good. Good on you, Jen. Now, the next time she opens a week two, and then you write down something, she's kind of like, oh, I remember last time.
I did apologise to the opponents. It seemed a bit mean on them, actually, because not many people were in for us.
Yeah, I guess. Funny. So you think if you actually if you just bid two hearts, you're probably right. She probably would have passed it.
No, she would pass. That's exactly what it says.
Yeah. Oh
I'd have
well.
played two hearts from my side. It's better to be lucky than good. Paddling along at the Hamilton Bridge Club without you, the Wednesday Championship pairs has sort of got about five tables playing, which is a bit sad.
Yeah.
But I think the afternoon one has just finished, and they got like something like 12 tables or something for that. So our daytime bridge still. And I think there were 14 tables on Friday. So, you know, the numbers are quite good. 14 tables in one room and eight in the other. So,
Nice.
22 tables all up on Friday. So, the numbers are really quite good and during the day, but at night, ooh, not so good.
Yes, I guess it is a bit of work. Hey, by the way, there must be election for officers or officers for interest coming up with the Bridge Club's AGMs must be happening soon. Are you gonna stand for president this year, Barry?
Are you recording this? No, I'm not.
Why
I've been there and done that.
not?
Being president of any bridge club is a tough job, isn't it? And I mean, there's a lot of time involved. And you know, when anything thing goes wrong, when they're changing the carpet, or whether they're turning the heating up, or whether they're turning it down, and whether they need
Yeah.
new cards or a new roof or whatever, everybody asks the president when they're really probably just there to play bridge at the time. Yeah, it's not a lot of fun.
No, it's not.
Is there anybody out there in bridge zone land that thinks being president is just the greatest thing since sliced bread? What's our email address? Can you
Let
remember?
us know, you reckon.
Yeah.
Bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
Yeah. Put your name
Funny.
forward. Nominate you for president of the Hamilton Bridge Club this year. I don't care if you're from Karori or Invercargill or Oamaru.
Just quickly, I noticed, this is if you also listen to the podcast, Sorry Partner, they got
I haven't actually.
nominated for an award. It's a People's Choice Award. They're thrilled to announce that Sorry Partner has been nominated for a Women in Podcasting Award. This is a People's Choice style, so it needs to be voted on from listeners. And they're actually in the sports category. For listeners, if you know who Gavin Wolport is, I quite like following Gavin Wolport. He was a young Canadian-American champion. They've been talking to him this week or this fortnight. So if you want to jump on and have a listen, it'll be interesting. I haven't had a listen yet, but we could talk about that next week.
Unfortunately for you, we're never going to get nominated for that, are we? I've disqualified you.
Woman in podcasting, yeah. Driving anywhere, want something to listen to? And also you can listen to The Bridge Zone. Or even Peter Hollins, who is coming up next with part three of his session on hand evaluation.
So this is the general way that I like to evaluate hands, where you count your high card points with 4 for an ace, 3 for a king, 2 for a queen, 1 for a jack. And then before you find a fit, you want to count your length points, where you get 1 point if you've got a 5 card suit, 2 points if you've got a 6 card suit. And then afterwards, if you do find a fit, you stop counting your length points and switch over to shortage points. So this is how you can evaluate hands in a pretty basic way. Now, there are more adjustments that can be done. So let's look at what other adjustments that you can actually make. So first of all, high card points aren't precise on 4 for an ace 3. That's how people approximate them. A slight different approach might be aces and kings are worth slightly more than 4 points. Queens and jacks are worth slightly less than their 2 and 1 points respectively. So aces is approximately 4.3. I've seen various numbers on what people actually think they're worth. And kings 3.3. And queens like 1.7. And jacks 0.7. So basically queens and jacks are overvalued in the way that we actually count them, and aces and kings are undervalued, and also tens are worth some value as well. So basically, instead of getting your calculator out, what I do is I count my high card points the usual way that I would. But then I see if I've got lots of aces, kings, and tens, then my hand is better than what I'm already counting it for. So if I'm on a borderline decision and I see that I've got lots of aces, kings, and tens, I'll upgrade my hand. Whereas if I've got lots of queens and jacks, then I know my hand's already overvalued for what it is, and then I'll sort of backtrack a bit and downvalue it a bit. So if you've got lots of aces and kings, that's a really good thing. If you've got lots of queens and jacks, that's not a good thing. You don't need to work out precisely how much your hand is valued using those numbers, but it is something that you can do. So realizing a general pattern is that lots of aces and kings are good, whereas lots of queens and jacks are not. Another thing that you want to pay attention to is intermediates. So here we've started talking about tens actually having some value. Nines also have some value as well, and eights a little bit. So if your hand has lots and lots of intermediates, then your hand is better. So you can look for a sort of scattering of high intermediates, and if you've got intermediates in your long suits, then they're better placed and your hand would be a bit better. The final thing that you want to sort of look for is the location of your points. So where are your high card points? What you want is you generally want your high card points to be connected together. So if you've got a jack just by itself, it's not as good as if that jack was supported by an ace, king, or queen. So you want your high card points together, and you also want your high card points to be in your long suits. When they're in your short suits, they're not nearly as valuable. So they're the two things about location that you want. You want your high card points in your long suits. You also want your high card points connected together rather than just scattered.
More on hand evaluations with Peter Hollins next week.
There's a group of bridge players in Hamilton. Most Monday afternoons, if you're wandering through Chartwell Square, which is a shopping mall around Hamilton, you'll find them at Starbucks with a couple of tables of bridge players hanging out and playing bridge together on a Monday afternoon.
And if you're in Hamilton on a Saturday morning and looking for a casual game, you can find them at Kurt's Cafe, which is in Te Araha Street, so just off River Road. They've moved from Urge Cafe in Victoria Street because Jeffrey has sold that business. So they thought, okay, well, they're off. And
Jeffrey is one of our members. And, yeah, quite a lot of bridge players used to go down there on the Saturday morning, play a bit of bridge and drink a bit of coffee and
I didn't realize they'd still around and they've moved to the other one. Probably, yeah, the parking was a bit of an issue at Edge. Good cafe, but
Yep. It was a good
the little.
cafe. If you're driving through Hamilton around about 10 o'clock, you go down and have a social game or see some fellow bridge players at Kirk Cafe, Te Aroha Street, just off River Road, just behind the church.
Okay, once again, anybody listening, if you know of any casual games that happen around your town or city, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. Let us know. We'll broadcast it and see if we can get somebody else to turn up.
Hey, I need a game over here. I'm on a boat, explorer of the seas. I need someone else to play bridge with. Maybe they can catch up with me.
So where are you going for after here?
After the Mykonos or Mackinac Island, we're going into Athens, and then we go to Italy after there. So
Well,
it's
there's bound to be some bridge clubs in Italy.
Yep. That's what I've said. I've said to our family, the Cullen family, I said, right, I'll be able to go and have a game of bridge. And they're like, okay.
Have you been practicing your Italian? Do
No.
you want to give us a demo?
No.
Oh, okay.
Buongiorno
You know the
is
Italian word for no trumps?
no. Do you?
No, I don't. I was just wondering how you're going to get on.
I've got Google Translation.
Yeah, they might have a bidding box. That'll make it easy for you.
Yeah, true. Well, people, that's enough from me. I hope you're
So
keeping
we'll
nice and warm over there.
keep on trucking or cruising, whatever it is you're doing, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Barry.
Bye.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.